You're listening to audio from Park Church in Denver, Colorado. More information can be found online at parkchurch.org.
Before we get started, thank you for leading. It's a labor of love, and you guys are, you know, not getting paid for this. It's treasures in heaven, right? So we're building some nice houses up there maybe, but it's so important to the culture of Park Church, and I know that it's not the stuff that you guys have to deal with. You're on the front line, so just please hear both and I saying thank you. And we're not in a GC right now. We've been in a number of GCs over the last 14 years and have multiplied in some great ways and some accidental ways and some not so great ways. So we've got a lot of different sort of seasons of that we'll draw from throughout this thing. But Brooke, do you want to pray for us and kick us off?
Yeah, I know Kyle prayed, but I just wanted us to start. I think Sundays we've finished kind of a busy weekend. And so I just wanted to invite us to close our eyes for a second. And there is something that you left behind in order to be here tonight. So it could be a worry about work. It could be a crying kid downstairs. It could be just this is the first time you've like sat today and really let yourself settle in. And so whatever that is, just in the quiet of your heart, would you acknowledge that before God? And offer that to him. Okay, God, we just give you the things that came to mind and the things that we don't even know how to name right now. We just hold them before you and we ask you to give us the trust that you will hold them so that we can be fully present in the space. Would you come and would you speak to us? Would you awaken us to what you're doing? What you're doing that's bigger than us, that's bigger than what we can see, that truly is about the kingdom of God. Open our hearts to see. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
And I already messed up our flow. Apologize.
Okay.
I was supposed to do this agenda before she prayed, but we're going to go to the agenda right now, just so you know where we're going, and I'll let you get back to it. So okay. Brooke's going to kick us off with just a little bit of vision for leadership, how to plant our feet as we even think about this discussion. We're going to talk about why certain voices aren't showing up in our groups, some practical ways to address that, and then we want to spend the majority of our time doing some table topics so you guys can be sharing stuff at your tables. So that's where we're headed. And with that, vision and heart for leadership. Do you want to tease this up?
I think we're good. I'm going to talk for a second. Okay, so knowing that leaders often set the tone for their groups, I just want to hold before us a grounding vision for leadership that sets the stage and helps us establish everyone's voices as valuable. We have no internet right now, so this is going really good. But anyway, if you know anything about me, if you spend any amount of time with me, I love sports. I am not an athlete kind of love sports, but like I want to watch all the sports. And so last year, I was watching a clip on NFL Films with Mike McDaniels. And in kind of the mystery of how God works, as I was watching, he was using this clip to convict me and to speak personally to my heart about his vision for leadership for me. And so as I was thinking about this topic, I kind of just wanted to share this 45-second clip with you guys, and then just some reflections of kind of what emerged and what God was like putting on my heart as I watched it.
We're going to tether.
Okay.
Let's see if this works.
Yeah, it's really okay. I think we're
okay.
I'll
do that here.
Oh, I see.
Okay, I'm gonna restart it. Here we go. Cause it is so good. All right, you're going to miss the very first part of this question, but the question is, what about being a father made you a better head coach?
Father made you a better head coach.
I think, ironically, they're similar in that it's a servitude role. I'm so proud of you. I mean, you are everything you wanted to be and more. Being a dad is very much like being a head coach in that you're constantly concerned about the well-being of other people.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact I couldn't be any of the things that are the most important things to me. Father, husband, man, and then head coach. All of those are a consequence of wanting to be something for someone. To not exist for yourself is a beautiful thing.
Okay, so short clip, if you know anything about Mike McDaniels, he's a quirky guy. But there were kind of three powerful kind of concepts that emerged for me. And so I just want to hold these three before you. The first one is leadership as service. So that first quote for them, the clip, he says, it's a servitude role. Being a dad is a lot like being a head coach because you're constantly concerned about the well-being of other people. So the word servant is all throughout scripture, and the idea of servant and master was central to the social fabric of Jesus's day. Jesus takes this title and astoundingly applies it to himself, and he names it as a defining aspect of his leadership. So in Mark 10:45, he says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Paul, in talking about following Jesus's example, he says in Philippians 2:3-4, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others as more significant than yourselves. And then he goes on to say, have this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant. So at times, our culture and our own insecurities, they tell us that leadership is being the loudest person in the room, it's being the most gifted person in the room, it's being the most esteemed, or in some of the worst cases in our culture, we see it as being the most powerful person in the room. But Jesus gives us this picture of laying our lives down for others. And so Jesus is the ultimate servant leader, and we remind ourselves again and again that with the Spirit's help, that's what we're after as we step into leading these groups. The second idea that emerged for me was calling out the best in people. So the quote from the clip is, I'm so proud of you. There's an expletive that's marked out. You're everything you wanted to be. And this is, kind of a little bit of like a light compliment, but if you're thinking about Paul, like looking at the Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 10, he says, for we are his workmanship. You can imagine him calling out to this church. We are his workmanship. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then again, going back to Romans 12, he calls out the value of each part of the body. And so as followers of Jesus and as leaders, we live into the reality that everyone has something to offer. As image bearers, we each show the world something unique and significant about God. Joel said this morning that spiritual gifts are the inheritance of all of God's people. And then he mentioned that Sam Storms quote that God's going public among his people through our gifts. And so as leaders, we do in a significant way what we saw in a small way, is we show up to places and we say, God, how can I join you in the work that you're doing in this person's life? And how can I call out the gifts that you've given them? So here at Park, we believe that the scriptures are very clear in the value of both men and women. And we want to see men and women valued, empowered, and developed to use their voice and their gifts so that the whole body grows to a mature image of Christ. That last part is really significant, that when both men and women are showing up using their gifts, when we value their voices, we image a mature, like, image of Christ. And so this vision and value, it doesn't stop there. Like Eric said earlier, it doesn't stop along gender lines of men and women. It applies to the introvert and the extrovert, the internal processor, the external processor, the new believer, and the sage that has followed Jesus for a really long time. The last idea, he says, to not exist for yourself is a beautiful thing. And that just had me thinking, like, our role as leaders, it's so much bigger than us. It's about the kingdom of God. We can serve, we can lift up, we can highlight other people's gifts. We can be the type of leaders whose presence is felt more in the culture of our group than our performance or us being up front. Because we're part of a different kingdom, and our ultimate goal is to point people to Jesus. We seek first the kingdom, and we rest in the fact that God can do a lot with a little. In our ordinary living rooms, something bigger is happening than awkward conversation or us wondering if it's gonna be okay. And I'm thinking about that mustard seed parable in Luke 13. This is not about us proving ourselves as leaders, or about our ego, or about playing it safe, like doing what's most comfortable for us. But it's about King Jesus and the ways he wants to form us and shape us as we go on this journey, and the ways he wants to show his kingdom among us. And a lot of times that is not in perfection, that is in steps of faith. And so anyway, we just wanted to hold that. I think we could jump into practicals and our feet wouldn't be rooted in this kind of vision of what it looks like to be a servant leader, what it looks like to see leadership as calling out gifts in other people, not just thinking about our own gifts, but thinking broadly. And then realizing that all of this is happening in the kingdom of God. It's happening on a level that we can see and not yet see, the already and the not yet. And there's something so powerful and significant about walking into your group with the kingdom of God in mind. So.
Great. Thanks, Brooke. All right, well, with that kind of foundation laid, that vision, I want to talk a little bit about why we don't hear voices. And so maybe before I throw some stuff on the screen, y'all can mention some things in your groups, either the one you're in now or that you have seen, on reasons why people are quiet, don't speak up.
Intimidated.
Intimidated? Yeah. In what ways? There's probably a few.
I think Park is a very intellectual church. Mm-hmm. And I will say, even as a leader, sometimes with certain people in my group, I'm like, oh, you know, like a lot more of like a fancy theological person.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. Yep. It's good.
Because other people are just dominating the conversation.
Yep. You may have a chatty Kathy or a chatty Charlie.
Internal processing is a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any internal processors in the room? I am for sure. Yeah. Yep. Anything else jump out?
Cultural realities.
Yeah. Tell me more. Cultural realities?
You don't feel like you have experienced the same thing because you come from a different cultural background or experience, then you'd be afraid to express how that might engage the topic or discussion that seems like your lived experience or cultural experience is different and lends a different interpretation to the text than other people.
That's good.
More like locally, that doesn't mean like the culture of your group. I think if there's not space for questions or vulnerability,
by people. Yep. Having spaces for it. Michelle, do you have one?
Sort of similar to what you were starting down, just the reality that vulnerability is scary. And so you don't really know. I love your word hold, Brooke. You don't really know how people are going to hold your story. Mm-hmm. And so it takes time before, and like small steps, I think, to, you know, kind of create that place and space.
Yeah.
And the right time, right? It's hard to shortcut that, really. Yeah. Cool. Well, here's something that we came up with. So the group lacked vision, why everyone's voice matters. Sometimes we walk into a group or we lead a group, we just kind of assume that everyone knows that we want to hear their voice. That's why I keep asking them questions. But like having even an articulated vision for your group on why I want to hear from everybody and why we are missing out. Like if we have quiet voices in the room, we're missing something, you know? and having space for the introverts and the extroverts. But maybe something you could think about is how you would articulate that to your group, a vision for why every voice matters and how you might get there. Because there's a ton of things that you'll try that'll work and won't work, but as long as we're kind of, the group knows where we're going, we can do that together, right? People are intimidated, don't feel like they have the tools, right? Intimidation, someone said that. So the fancy words, that might be something we think about because we are a very intellectual church. I'll never forget early on, we did a church-wide survey and it was cool because it benchmarked us. This might've been 10 years ago, I don't know, it was a long time, against other churches. And we were like off the charts with our like theological language and we were like at the bottom with evangelism. So sort of like we can have some of those vibes. And so even thinking about that as a leader, like, are we leading with big words or are we trying to like explain this like we would to our kiddos? The questions we ask aren't accessible and they don't set everyone up to participate. So Brooke's going to speak to that a little bit more in a little bit, but sometimes it's like we're asking questions. And I think Kyle mentioned this in our pregame meeting for the leaders. Sometimes our questions aren't good. So think about like what questions. You know, you don't get credit just for putting a question mark at the end. So thinking through like what questions are opening people up and which ones aren't. And then the people in the group who share the most aren't like them. They don't see a place to jump in and share. Yeah, so like, are there spaces to be an introvert? Because I want to sit with something before I just give my opinion, because then I'll probably change it as everyone else is speaking. So I'm like, I want to kind of know where I land before I jump in. I'm not a verbal processor. So. And we've had groups where people have left because they felt like this group's got it together. You know, I clearly don't fit in because they are all just winning and I'm not. So it's like, oh, how do we create that, right? So so those are a few. You guys mentioned others. There are many more, and there'll be a chance to talk about this more at your table. But we do have some kind of practical ideas or tactical, however you want to put it, for some of these. And so I'll start the first one. So set vision and ground rules. I already spoke to this a little bit, but if you're co-leading or you have multiple leaders, kind of sit down and say, all right, we know we want to hear everyone's voices. How do we communicate? Before we figure out how to do that, how do we talk about that's what we want, right? So how do we set that North Star for the group? Let's come up with a statement. We'll read it to the group, ask for their help. So it's kind of help set that vision. And then ground rules, it'll depend on your group, but you might want to insert some ground rules for leaving space. If you've got a group where it's like just spitfire, people jump in really quickly, maybe you take a moment, like let's wait 30 seconds after someone shares before the next person shares. And so it's forcing these little moments of silence. That's just one idea. There's a bunch of others we could come up with, but so that's the first one.
Yeah, the second one is break into smaller groups within group time. This has been kind of a significant tool for me when I have a group where a conversation can, particularly when I have a group that's more internal processors and it can take a long time to get the conversation going. So the idea of like breaking people into smaller groups of 3 to 4 for like 15 minutes of your group time and giving them two questions to discuss. One, like really easy entry question that everybody would feel comfortable to enter like into. And as you break them up, I think if there is a dynamic like between husbands and wives where like maybe one spouse talks more, put them in different groups, right? Like mix up who gets to be together and who hears from one another. And so a question that's just like a low bar of entry question, then maybe one that takes them a step deeper. And then coming back to the group and having the group share on behalf of the other person. So like, hey, we're gonna come back and we're gonna share something that someone else shared that was significant to us. That has been a really powerful way, A, for the group to learn from voices that are quieter and slower to share and maybe wouldn't think they had something to offer, but also to get people kind of in a different context and mixed up with different people. And so, just a little, I think we've both used it and it's been a really good thing to catalyze conversation within our groups.
Totally. One thing I didn't mention kind of in the first one, setting vision and ground rules. And this might vary for each of your leadership dynamics, but some people are just sort of predisposed to be like a teacher. Like I lead out of teaching. And so folks can come to a GC and just kind of feel this sort of like, I just come to listen and they come and they teach me. But how do we like kind of shatter some of those maybe expectations that people are here to learn? And honestly, you're kind of modeling what it's going to be like for any of the folks in your group to go multiply and start their own group. So if you've set up this really high bar with big words and teaching, you're going to have fewer people like, hey, I can go do this. But if it's this very distributed leadership model, more people might be feel like they can do it. Okay, turn challenges into opportunities. This is a simple one, but like if you do have someone who's maybe dominating conversations, bring them in as an ally. So like, hey, I love your voice in all of this. Here's what we're trying to do. Remember that vision we articulated as a group for hearing voices? Could you help me out? Like, I've noticed a few of the voices in the room, they're not, you know, we're not hearing them. So maybe you can, in our group time, help elevate those. So that's turn challenges into opportunities.
On that too, I think those type of personalities, every group needs those type of personalities that will jump in and talk right away, that don't need the processing time. And so it is not a negative thing that you have that. Like, those personalities are catalyzers for conversation. And so just this idea of like, how do you capture them, sweep them up in the vision, and then help you catalyze in this different way of drawing people out, I think is something powerful to think about.
Yeah.
Thoughtful question asking. So Eric touched on this. So one, just like, are we asking quality questions? Like, are we asking questions that are open-ended enough, that aren't yes, no? Are we asking questions that are allowing people to kind of wonder at something, or to kind of collide their life with the passage that we're talking about? So some of the educational differences or theology differences, where those don't matter as much because it's a collision of what we're learning with our actual lives. And then, like, more specifically, I think as an internal processor, I love time in advance to think about things. And so I tend to like to pick a question that I want the group to answer that I text ahead of time. And so kind of this idea of like, hey, here's a question or a prompt that you might want to be thinking about in the next couple of days. We're going to all share about this first thing, and everybody's going to get a chance to share. I'll usually say shout out to the internal processors like me or something like that. And I think it just is like a really kind way of letting everybody show up on equal footing. Another idea is if you have like certain people that won't share, kind of identifying one or two questions that you just really like kind of upfront but graciously say, hey, we're all going to answer on this one, and just kind of name a couple of those questions. And I think if you have a balance in your group where it's invitational answering and also like we're all going to answer, that doesn't feel alarming like to groups. That feels just kind of part of our cadence and is an opportunity for everybody to contribute. Some of my internal processing is a lot of like, it's hard for me to get started in sharing. And so even just that somebody naming like, hey, we're all going to share on this one, I'm kind of like, okay, I'm just going to put something out there. And then I usually get some momentum around sharing more. Another idea, I think, Kyle, I got this from you, but like share a question, set a timer for 2 or 3 minutes and let people think about the question and then let people answer. And so just kind of mixing up the way that we're delivering the questions too.
Great. Awesome. Next one, take turns facilitating the group and delegate. I think it's a good one. Being the leader doesn't mean you have to be the one leading the discussion. So exercise your power of delegation. I love delegating, right? You just, and whether that's leading the group discussion or coming up with a icebreaker or whatever it might be, but Brooke and I would just take turns delegating. So the discussion or leading the discussion in GC, and then just asking others to help out too. So sort of a revolving door of who's going to run point on that. But take turns and get a bunch of people involved in that.
Yeah. And set that up as the culture of your group.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next one's identify and call out people's gifts. Look at what they're good at, like name it and ask them to contribute in specific ways. And not just one leader names it, but both leaders name it. I think sometimes we'll have a leader that does more of like the admin people stuff and then the leader who talks more in group. But like if you as leaders can partner in naming gifts in people, it's a really significant thing. And so this could be naming like, hey, could you lead a prayer practice for our group? Could you come up with a question that we could engage on? I know you have this job and there's a collision between what we talked about this week and like kind of the things that you're wrestling with in your job. Will you share a little bit about that? for new believers in our group, a lot of times new believers embody a fire and a curiosity that like is such a gift for a group. And so if we're able to say to them like, hey, you might feel like there's a sage in our group that has a lot more to offer. Like there is something like that you can bring to our group that brings about question asking, that brings about a curiosity, a new fire for the rest of us. And so just being a person who like, that's kind of what you're known for as a leader, is that you are looking for what people are good at and you're encouraging them to step out into it.
Great. And then experiment with your monthly cadence. This is going to depend on, you know, how many kids are in your group, how old are they, where are you in like your group evolution. And so for some of the things we've tried, and I've heard others are trying, you could do, so there's roughly 4 meetings if you're meeting weekly in a month. So you could have one where you're all together, one where just the guys get together, and then the next one you all get together, and then one where the girls, just the ladies get together. And so trying something like that, because I do think getting them in, that sort of touches on smaller groups, it touches on like getting more comfortable in those groups, even if it's among your gender. And when you come back to the main group, there's just a little bit more relational equity that's been developed. But play with that. You know, that's just one idea. There's a lot of different ways you can slice that up. Sometimes they'll do, if there's a month with a fifth week, everyone gets together and they do like a big potluck, things like mm-hmm. that. But experiment with the monthly cadence and doing a different summer dynamic.
Yeah, and the last one is work as a team with your co-leader. Model what you hope to see. And so there can be kind of common breakdowns, like there's been breakdowns in the past of like the woman does most of the admin communication and the male does most of the leading. Like, how do you mix that up? And that might be because those are y'all's primary giftings, but how do you take risk and you lead in a way that embodies something that would be really helpful for people to see in your group? So you might be more of an introvert and you might not want to lead, but there's something really powerful in the for the introverts in the room if twice a year you take the step to lead. A lot of times, like the healthiest groups don't have the most gifted leaders. They actually have leaders who are willing to take risk and step outside of their gifts for the sake of the growth of the group. And so what does it look like together to identify the vacuums in your group? Like, what are the spaces that people aren't stepping into? So if women aren't speaking as much, what does it look like to, as the female leader, kind of lead the way, cast some vision around that? If men aren't, what does it look like to do that? If you are a leader who is more introverted, what does it look like to take some like risk outside of your realm? And so, yeah. And then obviously we want to lead the way in vulnerability as leaders. We want to like set the tone, and be willing to kind of offer to our group the things in our life that we're wrestling with and invite them to do the same.
Yeah. Just a few ideas. There's many more we could go into, but we're going to,
I wanted to say something about this. So yep. I have guiding. Oh, I was going to share that. Yes.
Yep.
Guiding principles. So like, I think this idea is like really powerful, as we want to hold consistency and variability together as we lead things. And so some of us tend toward being easily bored and we want to like try something new every week. And some of us tend toward comfort and we like get into a rut because of our desire for comfort. And so even as you're tossing around like some of these ideas that we threw out and how they could practically play out in your group, make sure you're consistent enough to try them over time. And then also make sure that you're mixing it up. Like the last thing we want is for people to show up into our groups and feel like alarmed all the time because it's different every time and they don't know what to expect. And then the other last thing that we want them to show up for is it's like, I could do this whole routine with my eyes closed because this is what we do every week. And so just, stick with things and mix things up and kind of wrestle as co-leaders with how that looks in your group, what it looks like to get momentum and to also keep things fresh. So
cool. With those guiding principles, here are your table topics. So for the next 12 minutes, maybe 13, you don't have to start at 1 and go through 4. So maybe among your group, pick one, see if one of them stands out more, and talk amongst yourself.
Hey, thanks for listening. Park Church exists to make disciples of Jesus for the glory of God and the joy of all people. More information and more resources can be found online at parkchurch.org. Take care.